You may remain seated because the text for our meditation together this morning is of some length. It is not one of the regular lessons for this day, but it is a lesson that allows us as God's people to focus upon that significant event that has brought us together this morning, the baptism of Grant. And we think of Grant as we dedicate these words especially to him and to his future life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The lesson for today, for our meditation, is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, where we find it in the 20th chapter. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing absolutely nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? Or you are envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Many of you will recognize that I have been preaching to you from the parables of our Lord, and you'll remember very early on I said that the definition of a parable was very, very simple. It was a word picture that preached an earnest lesson. And so we have before us today one of the most famous of all of the parables of Jesus. It is a parable that identifies the relationship between the people of God and their Savior, and God their Father, and his generosity. In fact, that's what it's all about. The fact that God is so very generous to all of us as his people. It's a reminder to us, just as the laborers who were hired very, very early in the morning went out and worked for 12 hours, and yet they got exactly the same wages as the workers who went out for only 1 hour and got the same denarius for their work. The early workers were angry. They made it known to everyone that they were not happy with the fact that some of the people were getting the same wage that they were and had only worked 1 hour. And incidentally, the hours that they worked were not 8 hours like you and I would work today, or we think about working today as a standard. They were working 12 hours every day. And those men that went out very early in the morning had worked for 12 hours and got their denarius as they had been promised. But those who went out for only 1 hour, and those who worked for 4 hours or 8 hours or 10 hours, everybody got one denarius for their work. The landowner speaks to those who are concerned about the fact that they were not receiving their just wages and says to them, didn't I promise you a denarius, and didn't you receive a denarius? And they said, "Yes, we did, but we worked 12 hours in the heat of the day, and we deserve more. If they get what we got for only 1 hour, is that fair?" And Jesus said, "It may not be fair, but it bespeaks my generosity. And don't I have the right to be generous with what I have? Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my money?" he says to them. The import of this particular parable could be addressed in several different ways. We could talk about the man who worked the 12 hours and how he felt about it. We could talk about the man or men who worked 1 hour and felt very good about it. Or we could talk about the landowner, and that's who we're going to talk about this morning. His generosity, the fact that he had the right to be that generous person that he was with what he had. I'd like to read to you something this morning that has become very important to me, and I think about every so often, but it has direct relationship to the fact that God has expectations for all of us as his workers, whether we've been working for 12 hours or whether we worked for 1 hour or less than 1 hour in the kingdom of God. It's the story of a man named Dr. Zinn, who was removed from the faculty of Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 1963. And you'll remember that 1963 was the heart of a crisis in our United States, a black and white crisis, and lots of not so good things were happening all over our country many, many times. In 1963, at Spelman College, which was a black university, Dr. Zinn was fired from college and from his teaching there. What was his crime? Well, he was involved in the civil rights movement. 42 years later, in May of 2005, now it's 42 years, Dr. Zinn returned to address the graduates of Spelman College. In his address, he challenged them to think differently than does our society about the good life and what those graduates had in store for them in their futures. Dr. Zinn told the graduates, "I know you have practical things to do to get jobs and get married and have children. You may become prosperous and may be considered a success in the way our society defines success, by wealth and standing and prestige, but that is not enough for a true good life." And then he went on to quote someone whom he had often quoted to these students when he was a professor there. He quoted from Tolstoy in his work entitled The Death of Ivan Illich. He continued, "A man on his deathbed reflects upon his life, how he has done everything right, obeyed the rules, become a judge, got married, had children, is looked upon as a success by others. Yet in his last hours, he wonders why he still feels a failure. The answer is that it is not enough to keep the rules, to be respectable. What you are doing for the common good, what are you doing to take up the cross of Jesus Christ? After becoming a famous novelist, Tolstoy himself decided that this was not enough, that he must speak out against the treatment of Russian peasants, and that he must write against the war and militarism. To be truly successful, we are to serve as Christ served. We are to love as Christ loved. We are to forgive as Christ forgave." And that's the essence of our message this morning. We are to be, as Dr. Luther says, little Christs to one another, reflecting upon what God has done for each one of us, that he has separated us from the world, as he did in baptism this morning, as he did in your baptism and my baptism, and made us heirs of eternal life and members of his kingdom, and empowers us to no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and who rose again. That we are the people of God, not by what we do or don't do or promise never to do, but by what he has first done for each one of us. And that's the import of our relationship to God. A baptism this morning gives us the opportunity to focus our attention on baptism for just a moment, because there's something very significant there, and especially for us as Lutherans, because we like to talk about word and sacrament ministry. We like to talk about how important the Word of God is to us, how important the sacraments of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are to us, and how we reflect upon that in our daily lives. You and I know about Holy Communion. When we celebrate it here in the church, we realize that it's God's generosity that is coming to us. He doesn't have to do this. He did it out of love for you and for me. He went the way of the cross, the Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrows for us. Out of his generosity, he separated us from an unbelieving world and made us members of his eternal kingdom. He did that to us, for us, because we have become the people of God. We became that in baptism. In baptism, just as we witnessed this morning, God came to us out of his generosity. Not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, not because of what we did or didn't do, but because of what he has done for us as the people of God. That generosity. There's some very, very important language that I'm going to use now that I want you to remember. This is my parable to all of you, because I'm going to create a word picture for you, and I hope you'll take it with you today. I hope you'll think about it today. I hope you'll think about it tomorrow, and next week, and next year, and oftentimes when you need to think about it. Because in baptism, God does everything. He comes to us with his forgiveness. He comes to us and changes us. The word baptizo means to wash, and he washes us. But more than that, it is significant that there's a repentance inherent in baptism. Not that Grant had the opportunity to physically do that himself, but he has the same opportunity that all of us have in our lives to cling to the hope that God has placed within us, that he has done the good work in us, and that he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until he comes again. The word repentance inherent here is kind of at the heart and the center of the parable that I want to teach you this morning. Because in baptism, God takes us and turns us around. Because that's exactly what baptism does. That's exactly what repentance means, to turn around. Now, Grant, just like everyone else in this room, was born into this world and headed into the wrong direction. He was headed away from his Savior. He was headed away from doing the things of God. But this morning we redirected his life. All of our lives have been redirected. We have been turned around from going the wrong way to going the way of God, to going home to God, to be on our way back to where he wants us to be. He wants us to be there because of his love and his service to us, because he accomplished our redemption. And so when you think of baptism, I want you to think of being turned around, turned away from the things of the world, and turned home to God. We're headed home to be with him. And we walk each and every day as God's people, knowing that that's where we're going to end up, knowing that it isn't up to us, but he has done it for each one of us. And we reflect our membership in his kingdom in the way that he has loved us. We imitate his love and his service and his care in the lives that we live as we're on our way walking home to be with him. And you know, just like so many times in our lives, sometimes we get a little off the path. Sometimes we stray a little this way or a little that way. Sometimes we are at a standstill in our lives. We're just kind of here and we're not doing much. God doesn't change. He has given us a sense of direction, and he has given us the hope of eternal life. And our hope is in him. And we live that hope in him. We reflect our membership in his kingdom each day of our lives, knowing that we can always return to him. We don't get rebaptized if we fall away from him, because he is faithful. His baptism stays forever and ever, as we sing in the Alleluia chorus. We sing the fact that we belong to him and that he has done this good work in us, and he will perform it until he comes again. He will always welcome us home to him. No matter what we've done or left undone in our lives, we can always return to him because he's turned us around in our baptism and made us members of his family. This became so clear to me and so relevant to me this past week. I wish I could say something a little different than I'm going to have to say it now, but it has to do with the St. Louis Cardinals. Has to do with probably the most famous St. Louis Cardinals, Albert Pujols. And Albert was being interviewed, and a little boy came up to him this past week. The little boy said to him, "Oh, I get to touch you." And Albert said, "Yeah, you can touch me." And he gave him his hand. And he said, "You know, when I grow up, I want to be just like you." Well, Albert was taken back a little bit. He didn't quite know what to say. He didn't know how to respond to that at all. But he did respond to it. His words back to the little boy was, "Well, that's nice, but I'm going to tell you something. I want to be like Jesus." Earth-shaking. The witness that he gave that little boy was earth-shaking and rememberable for all of us as people of God. That's who we want to be like. Oh, we have all kinds of idols and all kinds of things we want to do and all kinds of places we want to go and lots of things to do. But among all of them needs to be our desire for service in the kingdom of God, to accept the love that God has given us as his people, and to be those people living by the example of the Lord Jesus in each one of our lives, who loved us so much that he went the way of sorrows for us, but didn't stay dead, rose again to eternity, and now calls all of us into this kind of a relationship with him. For his name's sake, amen.